Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
As an object lesson, Jackie is going to be sitting over here and she's going to be working on a puzzle. And for those of you here, how many here love doing a jigsaw puzzle? How many of you are kind of wishing that you could run up here and help Jackie out? It's going to drive you nuts, but you have to stay in your seat. Jackie is the only one who gets to work on this morning. But I find that jigsaw puzzles is one of those things that, you know, you either really love doing it or you could take it or you could leave it. It's not like cilantro. You know, with cilantro, you either love it, right? Or you absolutely hate it, right? See, I'm the guy that absolutely loves it to the point that I have a smoothie that has cilantro in it. It's fantastic. Don't knock it till you try it. It is so good. And then there's my wife, who, if I'm cutting it and she can smell it, she literally almost wants to vomit. So cilantro is one of those things that's not, meh, I can take it or leave it. It's either you love it or you hate it. But it's always interesting to see what happens when a puzzle is brought out and put onto the table in a home. You have the individual who immediately goes to the table and starts working on it. You'll have the individual who will walk by, they'll put in a piece, and then they'll keep on going. There's the other person who will walk by and be like, yeah, puzzle's out, I'm out. And they'll try and get out of here as fast as possible. But when you start putting together a puzzle, there's typically, and I actually did some research on this, there's three types of people. The first is the border obsessive. They have to immediately get that border in place so that they know what they're working with and how big this puzzle is going to be. Then you have the opportunists. The opportunists will look and they'll start building from the inside and they'll start building out. They have no idea how big this puzzle is going to be. And then you have the hoarder. The hoarder is the one who will protect the puzzle. You don't like anybody else touching your puzzle pieces. And in fact, you have to be the one that completes that puzzle. You'll go and you'll take a handful of pieces and put them in your pocket just so you can be sure to finish that puzzle. Anybody here like that? But watching somebody put a puzzle together helps you to understand what type of an individual they are. Some have a work-together type of a personality. Some people, you'll see their leadership qualities, and they'll start to delegate and say, okay, I want you to work on this house, and I want you to collect all of these pieces, and I want you to build the border. You'll have that person who delegates everything. Some will plan out how this whole thing is going to come together. You might even learn the art of negotiating. You know, maybe it's a family thing, and you're saying to your kid is there, and they want to go, and they either want to be on screen time, or they want to go outside and play, and you're simply saying, this is a family thing, so put 10 pieces into the puzzle, and then you can go. There might be that negotiator-type person. You might even discover that you have hoarding attributes, and you tuck a piece or two away in your pocket. You might have the mischievous person who comes along, who doesn't want to be part of the puzzle, but they'll take one or two pieces out and put in their pocket just so you can't complete the puzzle, right? I mean, for me, I walk into like either a Costco or Toys R Us or somewhere and I see puzzles and I can't justify spending $20 on this puzzle. And then I'll go to Salvation Army and I'll see a puzzle there for $1.50 or $2 and I can't bring myself to spend that because there's probably a piece or two missing. And that just drives me nuts. Anybody else with me on that one? Yeah, it's like if I can't complete this thing. We had a puzzle that we did over Christmas, and Claire had said, when you're done with that, can I have it? And we didn't do it intentionally, but we gave it to her, and Kyla found a piece after the fact. And she had it all completed, but she would not take this thing apart and put it back in the box until she had that final piece. So we had to get that final piece to her. There are many families that will buy a puzzle when they know that family is coming together, and they'll put it out, and it's one of those things that they work on. For some, it's an opportunity to escape and to even unwind. But no matter how we look at it, our personal lives, our family life, our church family, our workplace, almost everything in our lives is one big puzzle. We see all of these different puzzle pieces that are all jumbled up, and we look at it and think, how the heck is this all going to come together? Right? We look at this and it's like, What is this going to have? How is this going to look? So, Father, this morning, as we look at the puzzle pieces in our own lives, I pray that you would open up our eyes and open up our ears to hear what it is that you are saying to us, and that we would be led by your Holy Spirit, and we would see how these pieces of our lives are all going to come together. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture that may be familiar to some people, and it might be the first time you've ever read this. It's found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And it says this, and I'm going to kind of walk us through it. It starts off by saying, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Okay, hit pause. Trust. That can be a very difficult thing for many of us when we want to be in control. What does trust really mean? First, we know that trust is actually the antidote to worry. When you're sitting there worrying, take a dosage of trust and understand that it will resolve and it will remove all of the worry. We realize as well that trusting does not mean that we will have all that we desire, but trust will keep us from taking matters into our own hands. And then going on, it says, "And do not lean on your own understanding." Having this as the parallel to trusting in the Lord, do not lean on your own understanding, helps us understand that trust is trust in the goodness of God's ways. It does not mean trusting in our ways and hoping that things come into alignment. The world will teach you that the stars need to align and you need to listen to what the universe is telling you. Now, depending on the universe is actually leaning on your own interpretation of what the universe is saying. This is not a biblical practice. So we trust in the Lord with all our heart. And who is the creator of the universe? God. So who do we trust in? God. We don't trust in the universe and have the universe talk to us. God is the one who's speaking to us directly. So as things come together, I am able to see God's hand at work, not Chad's hand. So let's face it, I don't always understand how God is going to bring this all together. When I look at a puzzle, I don't see how this is all going to come together at the time. So in all your ways, acknowledge him. What does that mean? It means that in everything you do, you recognize that he is God. Do you acknowledge the authority of God in everything that you do? Do you know where your identity lies? Do we understand that our identity is in Christ? And then it finishes by saying, "And he will make straight your paths." The word used here for straight in the Hebrew refers to travel made safe by clearing and leveling the road. A straight path ensures proper guidance. If you want water to flow, you create a path. The path will then guide that water right to where it is that it needs to go. So this whole passage is more about teaching about our ethical behavior rather than who we're going to marry or what career path we're going to go down. Sometimes we look to this passage for that specific thing, but this is actually more to our ethical behavior. To lean on your own understanding is more than not praying about a decision. Leaning on your own understanding is more than thinking that you are the wise one. Believing that you are able to determine what is right and wrong without receiving guidance from God and the gift of wisdom that he wants to pour out on you. So we trust in him. We go to him. We don't go to our own understanding. So this morning we're going to look at this passage in light of putting a puzzle together. So over the last little bit, we're combining the teachings of discipleship, of community, of relationships. So a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a month ago now, we started with a discussion about discipleship. What does discipleship look like? What do I do? It's one thing to recognize it. It's another to do something about it. And Noah, if you could put that next slide up for me. So back at the beginning of January, we started in this series of moving forward. For many of us at the beginning, we may have felt that all of the pieces of our lives were thrown out onto this table. You might look at the pieces, and you might even feel a little bit overwhelmed. Because the thing is, just so you know, Jackie is putting this puzzle together, but she has no idea what the picture is. I've given it to her without a picture. All right? So you might look at all the pieces and feel a little bit overwhelmed. Part of you might wish that the puzzle was never opened. Is there some way that I can put this all back into the box and never have to look at it? But that's no longer an option. The pieces are all laid out. Now it's time to start putting it together. What is your first task? Some will start to sort and build right away. Some will sort based on color. Some will sort based on the exterior pieces. But as we looked at discipleship, we understood that there is a shape that we ourselves are to take on. It's a triangular shape. It's that up, that in, and that out. There is kind of a puzzle that we must put together. In our lives, during this, we looked at four different components to discipleship. We learned that discipleship starts in our own lives. Then it gets practiced in our home. It gets modeled in the church, and then it moves us out into the world. Even in discipleship, there is somewhat of a puzzle that we have to put together. Things have to be done in a certain order. It's hard to jump ahead without making sure that we have that foundation started. So here we are, we have the puzzle of our lives laid out on this table. Now, depending on your personality, you come up with a plan of how this is all going to work together. Like I said before, some will start by building that exterior, some will start from the center and work their way out. But when it comes to putting a puzzle together, we may put pressures on ourselves as to how it should all fit together. We try to come up with the perfect plan. Is there a perfect plan when putting a puzzle together? You have no idea. You just simply see pieces. You don't know how they fit together. You can't do a certain thing. You can't start at the top and then work your way down as if you're reading a book. It just doesn't come together that way. The way that you put the puzzle together, it's not a cookie cutter thing. You don't even know how the pieces are going to go. You don't even know at what point you will find the piece for that particular area that you're looking on. Constructing a puzzle is going to be different every single time. With discipleship, it's done differently every single time. As we trust in the Lord with each situation, He's the one who will direct our steps. So, for example, you've just met a person, and now you have the opportunity to disciple them. You hear their story and wonder how you are going to be able to walk with them. You hear what's going on and you think, I have no experience in any of this. What am I supposed to say? Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. So what did we learn is the antidote to worry? We trust. So we don't fret, we don't worry, we simply trust. Discipling someone is somewhat like putting a puzzle together. You don't know what it's going to look like. You don't know what their life shape is going to look like. You don't know how all of this is going to come together. You simply pick up a piece, you look to where it goes, and you keep building one piece at a time. You start with that piece, and God guides you to where the next piece is going to go. And as you come alongside of this person and journey with them, God provides you understanding of how to help them piece this all together. And slowly you begin to see the story unfold. What also happens as you're doing a puzzle or as you're walking with somebody, you make an investment in their life. You pour into their lives. You want to see how this story is going to unfold. So my hope is that as you are walking and discipling someone on their journey, the same is happening to you, that somebody is discipling you. It's one thing to disciple another person, but who's discipling you? I've asked this before, and I'll ask it again. Who are you accountable to? Whose authority do you come under? I shared last week that when the way that I lead is that I aim to lead by example. I am accountable to our leadership council. If you're interested, ever interested to know what that looks like, you can ask all 7 members of the leadership council. They have my full permission to explain to you what accountability looks like for me to them. As a result of this accountability, that accountability then speaks into my life. It speaks into my walk with God, my family, my relationships, my ministry, into everything. I have given them goals of things that I want to meet. I send them a report on a weekly basis, letting them know that I've been working towards these things. And if sometimes something is off target, they have the right to call out and say, "Hey, Chad, I noticed that you've kind of been falling behind on this." They have that right to call me out. So when I'm meeting with people, I will ask them, "Who are you accountable to?" I will take the time to understand what accountability looks like to them. This is why I stated last week that my hope and expectation for those serving in leadership and those that I serve are a part of the prayer ministry at church. If you want to have the right to speak into my life, into the life of the church, it is important that you are taking the time also to spend with God. Discipleship is living a life that is a reflection of Christ. Jesus walked with the people. He lived with the people. By living with someone, you get to see the pieces of a puzzle come together, and it gives you additional understanding. The second thing is that our relationships are like a puzzle. Think about the relationships that you have. A relationship is something that is continuously growing. It always takes on a new shape. How are your relationships constructed? Do you start your relationships by establishing those boundaries? For example, you start by getting that border wall constructed so that you know what it is that you're working within. Or do you start from the middle and begin to work out? Always seeing how the relationship is growing, how it's expanding, seeing new thoughts or seeing new things, exploring new options. I had a conversation with an individual recently and learned some of the story of their relationship. And the way that I would describe this relationship is that it started in the middle with two pieces. And the key pieces immediately fit together, and it was him and her. And that's always a really good start, right? You want to make sure that you connect together. Now, in all fairness, I did not get the whole story of their meeting and such. I was literally left hanging on this story. But through the conversation, I got little snippets. It was like I was shown little pieces of the puzzle out here and out here. And I was left wondering, how does all of these pieces fit together? How did this come together? Where did this all start? So listening to the latter parts of the story helped me to see how their relationship continues to grow and expand. And when I asked, okay, I can see all of these pieces out here. Tell me the story in here. I want to know, like, the middle. Well, I guess we'll have to go for coffee again. So I was literally left hanging. And I even said to him, I said, "You're going to leave me that way?" "Yep, yep. We'll have coffee again, and I'll tell you the rest of the story." So I'm still waiting to know, because I can see all of these pieces out here, but I'm wondering, how did this all start, and how did this grow? And I can't wait to hear the rest of the story. It's amazing to see how God continues to put the pieces together. The one thing that I heard when listening to the story is that when the piece was needed to fit the part of the picture that they needed, the piece was right there. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will put it together. In our relationship with Christ, we get this vision of what the picture is going to look like. Sometimes this is what it's like in our relationship with God. God drops little snippets into our heart. We work hard to bring the pieces together so that we can see the full story. But the story is put together in God's timing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. We sometimes see pieces of the puzzle thinking, "Oh, that's the piece for right here." And we try and jam it in. It's like, and then we realize, no, that's not the right piece. We force it, but it won't work. But how often when putting a puzzle together? Do we go looking for a piece of the puzzle and we become so fixated on that piece that we miss all of the other ones that we've picked up and tossed down? Have you ever done that? You're looking for a piece for that puzzle and you'll slide them and you move. No, meanwhile, you've like missed all of the outer parts of it, but you're so focused on that one little piece that's right here that you just look and look and look and you miss everything else that's going on. For some of us, we have a word that's spoken over our lives and we become fixated on the word and we want to see the picture immediately. We can see the picture coming together, and we tend to go looking through all of the puzzle pieces to get this one particular image in the picture to come into clear view. I just need that piece right there, God, because that's the one that's going to answer all of the questions. Meanwhile, God has put many other pieces of the puzzle into your hands, but you discard them thinking, that's not what I'm looking for. That's not the one that I'm looking for. God, I need this piece right here. This is the one that I want. Once I get this picture figured out, then I will know how it is that I'm supposed to go. When we read this passage, it's important to understand that this is a representation of the kingdom of God. We take all of the pieces of the puzzles of our lives as they represent the invitation into the kingdom of God, and we learn how it is that we are to live. Anything that we do, it's not of our own accord. We're not doing these things on our own. You don't put the pieces of the puzzle together for your life. You trust God. As the pieces come together, you have the confidence, the vision, the expectation to know that God is at work in you. The relationship you have continues to grow. You might have all of these little pieces of the puzzle take shape in different ways. I've asked myself on numerous occasions, how did I go from being a contract administrator at Syncrude in Fort McMurray to becoming an associate pastor in Wetaskiwin, to an administrative pastor in Edmonton, to a funeral home, to a facility manager, to a funeral home manager, to a lead pastor here in Comox? It's like I've got all of these pictures. It's like, God, there's obviously, how is this all connected? I can't see the full picture, but God sees it. God knows why all of these things take place. What does this picture look like overall? How do all of these fit together? I don't stress about these things because in verses 5 and 6, I see that this guidance is more about my ethical behavior and choices regarding and not about a career. So God, in all of these things, have I had the mind of Christ? Have I listened to your voice? Have I gone in the direction that you have called me to? Am I trusting you? Am I leaning on my own understanding, or am I leaning on yours? When it comes to doing a puzzle, are you a solo puzzler, or do you like doing it with others? When it comes to doing a puzzle, I often like to do it alone. I want to see this picture come together myself. I like that sense of accomplishment. But look at it another way. When you do it all on your own, who gets excited for you? Who can you share the excitement with? Sure, I can bring Kyla over and say, look, I've got it all done. Yay. I get my table back. She doesn't share in the same excitement because she wasn't a part of it with me. But if we were working on it together in a relationship, we get more excited. It's kind of like an inside joke. You go to see somebody and they start laughing. It's like, oh, you wouldn't get it. You weren't there. When you complete it with someone else, you see how the two of you are able to work independently yet together. You have somebody that you're able to celebrate it with. Relationships are designed for more than one person. You can't have a relationship without having someone else in your life. The pieces of the puzzle need someone to put them together. The pieces of your life puzzle need someone to guide them and to put them in place. Our lives are like a puzzle. Unfortunately, our puzzle does not come with a preview picture. We don't come with this overall picture. Only God can see the picture, and he's the one who's putting it all together. He sees it. We trust in his leading. He knows what piece goes where and how it will fit. So the question is are you border obsessed? Are you an opportunist? Or are you a hoarder? Let's take a minute and check in with Jackie. Jackie, as I said, I gave her this puzzle at the beginning of the service. I messaged her this week and asked her if I could utilize her. I was going to send her home with it, but due to schedules, it wouldn't work, and it's a lot more fun to see her actually working here on it. So I'm going to ask her a couple of questions. What are you learning about putting the puzzle together without knowing what it would look like?
Well, I'm trying to find pieces that will go together with hopes that I'll see the big picture eventually, and I'm seeing little clippets of what could be, and I've also discovered that I need to change, is it the right word to say, trajectory?
Okay.
Because I thought this might be long on the bottom and short on the sides, but actually I think I have to turn the whole thing, and it's a really tall puzzle.
Okay. So how it's coming together is different than what you assumed.
Yeah.
Okay, so as you're working on the puzzle, did the thought ever enter your mind, and are you wondering, are there some missing pieces?
Well, I only thought that because you said it earlier.
How did you construct the puzzle? Did you start with the border, or are you working from the outside in?
Yeah, I like to start with the edges because it's what I know. If there's a slick side, then I know it's an edge. Whereas the middle ones, I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are you kind of like that border obsessed type person? You got to get that. You need to see the picture, see how big it is, and then start working from within.
Well, if I connect the two corners, then yeah, now I know the dimension.
Okay. How would you feel if I invited someone to come and help you work on the puzzle?
Sure, but I might tell them what to do if they're okay with that.
So she's going to take that leadership quality and just put it to use. So if you had someone else to work with you and help provide additional insight, would that help?
Oh, yeah, if they could see things and, you know, give me clues, that would certainly be helpful.
Okay. Do I have somebody that wants to come down and help Jackie? I need one person. All right, Carolee is wanting to come. Carolee, come on up and have fun with Jackie. We'll continue on. Hopefully you guys won't become a distraction. So God did not create us to walk alone. From the very beginning, he created us to be in relationship with him. Now, there are times when a piece will get put or thrown into our puzzle that we're not expecting, right? And we'll try and fit this. But sometimes that's the scheme of the enemy. He will give us a little piece, a piece will get tossed into that puzzle, and we will try and fit this into the picture without realizing this does not fit in the picture. Now, the part that I did not tell Jackie is that there's an extra piece in this puzzle that does not fit. Okay, so she had no idea about that part until just now, if she's listening to what I'm saying. So we can see this even through the passage. In all our ways, we acknowledge him. Are you talking out what's going on with God? Are you asking him to guide you? When we live on our own, listening to our own voice and our own opinion, we won't be challenged. Kyla and I are in a relationship. We don't always see things the same way, but we continue to listen to each other. We encourage one another. We challenge each other. We ask God to guide us. For our children, as we were raising them, we sought God on their education, homeschool, Christian school, public school. Now for us, for what we talked out, we looked at it and said, okay, homeschool, not an option. We love our children way too much to put them through that, because we know what we would be like as teachers. Christian school, well, they're already living in a pastor's home. They're going to church on a regular basis. They needed some exposure to life outside. Public school, we didn't agree with what was being taught all the time. However, we provided a place for our children to come home and talk out what they were hearing and what they were being taught. We then engaged in conversation with them, asking them questions. It was important for them to have a biblical understanding of what they believed and why they believed it. It does cause for some very interesting dinnertime conversation. But I'm not going to put my head in the sand and think that these conversations are not taking place. I went to high school. It wasn't all that long ago. I know what kind of conversations took place. And in high school, I know what I wrestled with. I know what I struggled with. I know what I fought with. And I see the importance of having that place where you can go home and talk these things out that you're hearing. And I had to spend much time in the Word, listening to God and having Him direct my path, my thoughts, my understanding. I am now able to teach this in my own home, and it's a part of the discipling, of modeling it in my own home. And then finally, community is like a puzzle. This church is like a puzzle. There are many pieces to this puzzle. Think about the different personalities that are here. Think about the demographics. Think about the cultures. Think about the generations. The list can go on and on about how this church is put together. You might be here this morning for the very first time. This might be your first time ever in a church. You might be checking out church for the first time, or it could be your first time in a long time. Perhaps somebody said something to you years ago that hurt you, and instead of confronting the person, you took it out and you blamed the church. So if you're coming here, or perhaps you've been wrestling with moving on to a different church, maybe something this morning told you, go one more time and give it another shot. You may still decide to move on after this, and I'm okay with that. It's important, though, that you take your puzzle piece and figure out where you fit best. God is putting the puzzle together. You have a place in God's picture. Every single one of us, all of the churches in the Comox Valley, around the island, across this country, around the world, every Bible-believing, Jesus-teaching church is a part of the puzzle. Do you believe that? So God is the only one who can see the full picture. Your piece does fit. It does fit somewhere. Just as you could see, the picture is coming more and more into focus on the screen. God is the only one who can see the full picture. You may take your piece and try and fit it into another church. Your piece might end up back here. I don't know. But I want you to know that you do have a place in God's church. We want to walk with you, and we want to help you find your place in this puzzle. Your piece will fit right where God wants it to fit. You make the choice, though, whether you want to fit or not. Last week, you heard stories of individuals who are a part of a life group. They allowed their piece of the puzzle to be placed where God wanted them to be. Now, we are able to come up with all sorts of excuses and reasons as to why we don't fit, or why we don't have time, or why we can't commit. That is between you and God. God has called all of us to live in community. Either you will allow your piece to be placed into the puzzle, or you won't. What if you are the missing piece in the area of a puzzle you've been trying to fit yourself in, or you've been trying to fit yourself in somewhere else, but you have not fit? You've tried to do everything the way that you wanted it to look based on your interpretation of the story. But God is saying to you this morning, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Just like the water needs to have the canal created so it knows where it is that it's to flow, the water cannot move on its own. Otherwise, it's going to pool, it's going to flood, it's going to make a mess. The path needs to be created so it knows where to go. You need God to draw your path so you know where to go. I need God to draw my path so I know where to go. If I don't, if I try and create my own path, what happens? I pool, I flood, I make a mess. The gospel that we refer to and know is what Jesus preached. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the good news. God invites me to him, to walk with him. He invites me to look to him. And as I look to him, I will act and move in tangible ways, no matter what they may look like. It is the step of faith that he is calling me to make. So as I close, I want to reflect on the part that it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Who is it that you are calling upon? Who are you in relationship with? Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So what does it mean to do it in the name of? It means that whatever we do, we are doing it on behalf of him. Whatever I do, I recognize and acknowledge that I am doing this on behalf of Jesus. I have a part in that puzzle, and I must do what God is asking me to do, and I do it on behalf of him, because he's the one who's putting the puzzle together. He's put me in the place. He's fit me in, and I may not fully understand it, but I trust in him. How would Jesus do it? That's how I want to do it. Anyone who has ever done a 12-step program, you know that they will teach you to call upon your higher power. Well, my higher power is Jesus Christ. And when I speak, I call upon the name of Jesus. I don't say my higher power, because let's face it, there is no power in higher power, but there is power in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Chains are broken in the name of Jesus. Let's stand here this morning, all across this place. In all your ways, acknowledge him. The next time you go to open your mouth, what would Jesus say, and how would he do this? This morning, you need healing. You need forgiveness. You need restoration. You need grace. This morning, I want to encourage you to call upon the name of Jesus and give thanks to God the Father, because he knows how that puzzle is going to come together. This morning, you are no longer in the tomb. He has called you out of the tomb, and he has given you life. Are you alive this morning?
Yes.
Are you alive this morning?
Woo!
Tyler's going to lead us, and we're going to close with this song, and then Calvin is going to come. God bless you.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.